This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
This is Sparta with Simon Tinsley.
The Spartan state consisted of three main social groups. The premier group was the Spartan citizen who controlled all political and military power. Below that was the Perioeci. This group consisted mainly of artisans, craftsmen and merchants, and are best described as an immigrant population of allies. They took no part in the running of the state and did not benefit from government institutions such as education, but retained the basic rights given to full citizens and presided the hoplite units to fight alongside the Spartan army. The bottom tier of the society were the slaves, known as helots. Was this vast supply of free labour that gave Spartan citizens both the wealth and the time to indulge in that wealth and made their hospitality famous among the Greek world? It seems ironic that it was these very slaves that led to the laws that changed the lives of their masters from hedonistic leisure to that of austere militaristic order. Hello, my name is Simon Tinsley. Welcome to This is Sparta, where I will be your guide to understanding why the state of ancient Sparta still captivates us 2,000 years later. In this episode, we'll find out how the slaves of the state were responsible for changes in society led to the faith warriors that we recognize today as the Spartans. Slavery was common in the ancient world, and Greece was no exception. Even in Athens, the birth of democracy, the wealth that allowed for such political experiments was made on the scarred backs of slaves. It was seen as a natural benefit of warfare that captured combatants, as well as a proportion of those residing in captured territory, would be taken as slaves. They would be sold at auction to the highest bidder, helping to make warfare profitable. Once sold, they became property of the owner, who could treat them as he or she saw fit, even to the extreme of killing them if deemed necessary. Most, especially the males, were used for arduous work, such as agriculture and mining. Female slaves were more often used in and around the home, employed in domestic duties. If lucky, the more educated of them were used as tutors or to run businesses for their owner. This, on rare occasions, allowed for some of them to acquire enough money to buy their freedom. The Spartan system was somewhat different. Helots were treated much like the serfs of medieval Britain. They had no rights and were bound to the land they worked and forbidden to travel without written permission from the state. Rather than being owned by a particular person or family, they were owned by the state and primarily used in agriculture. They each worked their patch of land to provide a set volume of produce for the state to feed its citizens. Anything more they produced was for their own use, allowing them to sell the surplus to satisfy their needs. They would also accompany the army on campaign, washing and cooking for their masters. After the initial invasion of Laconia, the Spartans enslaved the entire population in this way. The Laconians appear to have been surprisingly accepting of their new rule. No evidence of trouble has been found from these original inhabitants of this land. When Sparta invaded the neighbouring province of Messenia in 743 BC, the resulting new workforce proved to be less placid. The Messenian helots refused to accept their new role in society and were prone to revolt whenever possible. The Messenian slaves were denied the use of metal tools lest they forge weapons from them. A number of minor revolts and mass escapes were recorded, leading to a second Messenian war around 650 BC. This time, the Messenians were supported by allies from the city of Argos, Arcadia, Sion, and Elis. After some initial success, they were ultimately defeated once more by Sparta and her allies. The Helots greatly outnumbered the Spartans by a ratio of at least 7-1. This led to a kind of siege mentality. Citizens were forever in fear of the enemy within. This necessitated that a large portion of their military strength had to remain at home, discouraging the state from foreign affairs, making Sparta more insular, and leading to a mistrust of outsiders. These events occurred at the same time that Greece adopted the hoplite form of warfare, which saw heavily armed foot soldiers fighting in close formation, which required a new level of discipline, order, and unity than before. Thus, it was the need to thrive in this new form of combat and retain a heavy military presence at home that necessitated the radical changes that Lycurgus instigated, creating the stoic single-minded warriors we recognize. Next time, what were the new government institutions adopted by Sparta?
For more This Is Sparta, you can go to RNIB Connect Radio's Audio Boom pages and search for This Is Sparta.